God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Well, we continue in our series, Basic Training, and what we're doing for those visiting this morning is we're just looking at the basic stuff. We're taking the time to just look at some of the basic truths that we know, the basic stuff that we build the foundation of our life upon. So today we move on to one more basic. Today, basic training is about the Word. Okay, it's about this thing, the Bible. What is it that we know? What is it that we believe? What's the foundational truth that we understand about this incredible book? Well, first observation, obviously, is it's an incredible book. We believe that. We believe that this book is unlike any other book on the face of the entire earth. And that this book has the incredible opportunity to show us and teach us how to navigate life. And we believe that this book, the Bible, actually works. I mean, you know, you can watch the TV and see all the infomercials about, if you just try my program, you know, if you just try. Well, some of them work. Some of them don't work. We know the Bible works. I mean, we just know it works. You can look at the lives of people, and as you look at the lives of those people who've been engaged in the Bible, people that have done incredible things, you hear them talk about how the Bible just simply works, how it affected their lives. For instance, let me run you through some notable folks, like Abraham Lincoln, fairly notable. Lincoln said, "I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book." Or William Gladstone said, "I have known 95 of the world's great men in my time, and of these, 87 were followers of the Bible." Or you can go on to George Washington. George Washington said, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." Or Napoleon, the short guy. Napoleon said, "The Bible is no mere book, but a living creature with a power that conquers all that oppose it." Or Daniel Webster, "If there is anything in my thoughts or style to commend, the credit is due to my parents for instilling in me an early love of the Scriptures. If we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we and our posterity neglect its instruction and authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all our glory in profound obscurity." Or there's more. Horace Greeley, "It is impossible to enslave mentally or socially a Bible-reading people. The principles of the Bible are the groundwork of human freedom." Or finally, Vance Havner said, "I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I don't understand it all, but I stand on it." I like that one the best, by the way. "I don't understand it all, but I stand on it." Well, the point is, in showing you all of those quotes, the point is for us to see that we believe the Bible is this incredible book and that it works. That it really does work. That it is everything that God wants us to have, and it has the power to transform life. Now, what we are not going to do this morning is spend a whole lot of time debating about words that float around in the church about the Bible, like inerrancy. You heard that word? Unfortunately, in the church, we spend a lot of time wasting time about the Bible and arguing with one another about the Bible, especially around that word, inerrancy. Suffice to say, it is good enough to know that the Bible is exactly what God wants us to have. And the point is not to argue about it, but get to know it. And let the Bible have its work and its power to transform our lives. The point for us in the church should always be to simply understand the foundational truth that it's what God wants us to have, and it works, and it has that power to change our lives and the lives of others. Hey, if we believe that foundational truth, then the next question is, well, how does it work? How does that happen? First observation around that one would be, well, if it's going to work in your life, the scripture would tell you, you got to be quick to listen. You have to be quick to listen. James 1, it'll be a guiding verse for us today. James 1 says, my dear friends, you should be, what? Quick to listen and slow to speak or to get angry. If you are angry, you cannot do any of the good things that God wants done. James is telling us we have to spend time doing what? Listening. We have to spend time listening. Even though we believe the Bible in and of itself has this incredible power to transform life, it does not transform lives that don't listen to it. Does that make sense? If you don't spend time listening to what it has to say, it cannot transform your life. So James is saying, look, be quick about it. Be urgent about this. Make this a priority in your life. You have to be quick to listen. If we believe the Bible has that incredible power, then we have to be quick to seize that power. We have to be quick to go get what God has laid already in our lap. We have to be quick to let the Bible work on us. We say in our Lutheran tradition that the Bible is the rule and the norm for life. That it informs us, and that it shapes us, and therefore it transforms us. See, now here's the problem in our culture. The problem in our culture is that a lot of folks view the Bible as just kind of an answer book. And so what they do is they say, well, you know, I know it's a great book, and I know it's got incredible truth in it, and great wisdom in it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open it up, and I'm going to read this passage or that passage and say, oh, I like that one. I'm going to keep that one. Or they have a problem out here in life and they say, well, okay, I'm going to go find the answer to my problems. And they just go and they look here and they look there and they get the answer to their problem and then they walk away. The trouble is, the Bible is everything that God wants us to have. That every page, every word, every principle, everything that's in there, all encompassing, is what God wants us to have. It is not a book for us to kind of pick and choose and say, well, I like this, so I'm going to listen to that part, but I don't like that, so I'm not going to listen to that part. Proverbs says, everyone with good sense wants to learn. For us, it means that we simply believe that the whole bulk of the Scripture is this incredible gift that God gives to us, and we need to let that whole bulk of Scripture inform our lives. That we need to listen to everything it has to say. And when we listen, it will give us what we need. You guys remember the movie Castaway? Remember that movie? Tom Hanks starred in the movie Castaway, and the guy's, you know, marooned on the desert island. He works for FedEx, right? He works for FedEx, and of course, what kept him alive was, you know, that one package, right? Why don't you watch the screen for a minute? This is actually one of the FedEx commercials. Now, watch the screen for a minute, if you will. We could blow it up into the whole screen, so you got to squint a little bit to see the small one, but it should work.
Hi.
Hi.
I was marooned on an island for 5 years with this package. I swore that I would deliver it to you because I work for FedEx.
Very admirable. Thank you.
Hey, well, by the way, what's in the package?
Nothing really. Just a satellite phone, GPS locator, fishing rod, water purifier, and some seeds. Just silly stuff. Thank you again. You keep up the good work.
You don't need to add anything to it. You don't need to take anything away from it. It is everything God wants you to have. And this book has the power to transform life. But you have to be quick to listen to the whole truth of what the Bible has. Now here's the problem. Once you listen to it, you have to let it begin to shape you. Again, it goes back to the problem that's out there in the world. You see, the problem with the Bible for a lot of folks is they go at the Bible the other way. They say, well, okay, I think this is the truth. This is what I want to believe, so I'm going to go find some verses in there to support what I want to believe, and there you go. I'm good to go. That's not the way it works. The way it works is for you just to quickly listen to what the Bible has to say and then receive that and let it transform who you are. Let it change who you are. If we go back to James, kind of our theme verse this morning, we'll go back to James. It says, you must stop doing anything immoral or evil. Instead, be humble and accept the message that is planted in you to save you. It's something that comes from outside of us, that comes into us, that transforms us and saves us. It's for us to not listen to the world and the culture and everything else. It's to let the Bible be that source and that foundation of truth that shapes who we are. We accept its message and we reject anything else. Ready for a pop quiz this morning? We'll give all you good Lutherans in the room a pop quiz this morning and see how well you did in Sunday school. I'm going to read a number of phrases. As I read the phrases, I want you in your own mind to decide for yourself whether it's in the Bible or isn't in the Bible. Okay? You ready? You with me? First phrase, cleanliness is next to godliness. God helps those who help themselves. Confession is good for the soul. We are as prone to sin as sparks fly upward. That's a new one to me. I got to give you that one. This one you'll know. Money is the root of all evil. That's no. Give me the. Here we go. You ready? Honesty is the best policy. Okay. Here's the answer. You ready? Now, there may be some, you know, reference of truth behind those that we could find our way wandering back, but none of those phrases are in the Bible. Not there. None of those are in the Bible. And yet, if you go out into the culture, how often do you hear those things? And say, well, you know, the Bible says. Right? You got to be quick to listen. And you have to let the Bible transform who you are. Not go to the Word and make it say what you want it to say. It is what God wants us to have because it is the way that God begins to shape, fashion, and form us. It's what God uses to shape, fashion, and form our lives into what He wants them to be. 2 Timothy 3 says, keep on being faithful to what you were taught and to what you believed. After all, you know who taught you these things. Since childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make you wise enough to have faith in Christ Jesus and be saved. Everything in the Scriptures is God's Word. All of it is useful for teaching and helping people, and for correcting them and showing them how to live. The Scriptures train God's servants to do all kinds of good deeds. Did you get an idea of what the Scripture is supposed to do in your life? You see, it is the book that shapes, fashion, and informs us. Now here's the problem. If it is the book that shapes, fashions, and informs us as we believe, then it is also the book that holds us accountable and calls us to action. if you receive what the Bible has to say, if you receive what the whole truth of the message of the Bible is, then the Bible also calls you to action and to implement that truth into your life. It says, look, if you're going to receive this word, you're going to let it shape it, fashion, and form you, then it's also going to call you and empower you to get into action. James 1, theme verse again, says this. Obey God's message. What's that little grammatical thing there for? Emphasis, right? Emphatic. Emphatic. Obey God's message. Don't fool yourself by just listening to it. If you hear the message and don't obey it, you're like people who stare at themselves in a mirror and forget what they look like as soon as they leave. But you must never stop looking at the perfect law that sets you free. God will bless you in everything you do if you listen and obey, and don't just hear and forget. What's it telling you? It's not enough to just listen. The Bible is given to us and it has the power to transform life. It is that truth that shapes, forms, and fashions us. And when we receive it, we have to put it into practice. We have to put it into action. God uses that word to not only shape us, but to give direction to us and give us that opportunity to make a difference in the world according to that truth. If you hear the word, it's telling you, you need to put that word into action. Psalm 1 tells us the outcome of when you put this word into your life and you really act upon it. Psalm 1 says, God blesses those people who refuse evil advice and won't follow sinners or join in sneering at God. Instead, the law of the Lord makes them happy, and they think about it day and night. They are like trees growing beside a stream, trees that produce fruit in season and always, always have leaves. Those people succeed in everything they do. Which people? The people who delight in the law of the Lord day in and day out, night and day. The people who put their life on this book and say, this is what I'm going to listen to. This is what's going to shape my life. And this is what I'm going to act upon. I'm going to let it not only shape, form, fashion me, but I am going to let it be that which shapes, forms, fashions my actions and what I do. And if it says do it, then I'm going to do it. And the image the psalmist wants you to get is to understand when you do that, when you build your life on this word and you act on that word, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be incredible. Did you notice the trees that are in that psalm always have leaves? Did you see that? I just spent all day yesterday raking at my house. You? These trees? No dying. No corruption. They always have leaves. They're always producing fruit. They're always incredible, brilliant, and beautiful. They're always making a difference. They're always standing tall and strong. They're always changing the environment in which they live. They're always standing for this truth. These are incredible trees. And the psalmist says, people who build their life on the book of the scriptures are those kind of people. That's what your life can be like. That's what your life can be like. But now here's the problem. Remember, he said, it's not enough to just listen to it. You have to act upon it. The problem is, he's really serious about that. I mean, he's really serious about that. Yeah, I mean, it's not something that we just gather in this room and we say, okay, that's what the book says, and then we go out and we... No. He's really serious that we have to actually act. We have to live up to what the word calls us to do. James 1 again says, If you think you are being religious but can't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself, and everything you do is useless. See, you got to act. You got to act, and you got to change who you are. You got to act and change the way you are. You got to act and be someone different with your tongue. And notice he doesn't stop there. He holds us accountable for other things, like you must help needy orphans and widows and not let this world make you evil. What's he expect us to do? Take care of orphans. Take care of widows. Now, remember, the problem is he's serious about that. This is our job. He's serious about that. That's what we're supposed to do. And this is a serious problem in our world. Settle in for a minute. Watch the screen. This clip's a little long, but watch the screen and think about what we shared today about our responsibility for not just listening, but obeying and being accountable, responsible, that God is serious about what he asks us to be in the Scripture. Watch the screen.
Miracle starts with the beat of a heart. When love takes you in. It takes you in.
But the passages that bother me most are the ones I do understand. Yes? See, the problem for us is we have this incredible book, and it's the truth. And it tells us that Jesus Christ died for us, we who are orphans, we who are outcasts, we who are broken. And we receive that word and praise God for its truth. But then it challenges us to be something different, to be something God wants us to be and not what we want to be what God dreamed us to be from the foundation of time, and to do whatever He asks. And if we receive the truth that says Jesus Christ died for us and makes all the difference to eternity, then we have to obey everything else too. We have to seek to live up to all the other truths and all the other expectations, and not just listen and say, thanks God, I'm okay. But listen and obey. What do we believe about this book? We believe that this book is the incredible truth that makes all the difference in our life. That it shapes us, it forms us, it fashions us, and it proclaims to us Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of our sins. And that it calls us to be those trees that accomplish great things for God. And obey. And be everything He wants us to be. If you go to John 20, 30. John 20, 30. By the way, that's the login for our wireless out there, if you're wondering. John 20, 30. Jesus worked many other miracles for His disciples, and then all of them are written in this book. Is everything the Bible has? Everything Jesus ever did? No, it's what God wants us to have. But these are written. So this book is written with a purpose. These are written so that you'll put your faith in Jesus as the Messiah and the Son of God. And if you have faith in Him, you will have what? True life, awesome life, incredible life. It is the book that gives us Christ. And it gives us the challenge to live an incredible life. Let's pray. Father, we come to You today. We thank You.